people say, what's the one thing in 30 plus years you've learned from the wealthy? If you sum it up in one word, and the word is leverage. They leverage everything, as you know. Their money, their teams, their knowledge, their education leverages their work.
Podcasting from WealthWave Studios in Johns Creek, Georgia, this is Leadership Now, the official vision and strategy podcast of WealthWave. We're here today on Leadership Now with our special guest, best-selling author Steve Seibold, who we're so excited to have here. I know he's been a great friend of our team and our company for many years. He's been somebody who has done a lot of speaking to our company and to our associates all around the world and country. And so we're very excited to have you here today with us.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Great to be here.
I know that a lot of what you've written about has been about successful people and what people do and think about money. And the people that will be listening to this podcast with us today are, in many ways, they're trying to figure this out. They're trying to figure out what the leadership code is, the sales code, the recruiting code, the leadership code, to be able to build a business that can help them to solve problems and do some of the things. What advice would you give to somebody who was considering the financial industry and our version of it is the vehicle for that?
Well, I think it's phenomenal because, I mean, what an opportunity. I mean, the big risk of $99 to join the team. And then on top of that, you get WealthWave. You got the things you guys are doing are just, it's amazing. I mean, just as you know, I've been going around the country in Canada for the last 18 months. I've probably been in 50 different places doing seminars on mental toughness for WFG. And it's just, I mean, you guys are the talk of WFG, and it's just phenomenal. So I don't know how someone, as an outsider looking in on your business, I don't know what the objection they would have.
Well, you just spoke at our green carpet day, and I was watching the faces of the crowd and watching some of the tweets that were coming in. And I actually sent you a couple pictures on your phone so you can see them. And the things, people are so thoughtful these days. I mean, they watch it. It moves them. They write about it. They put the hashtags there of your books and things. I mean, that's got to be a pretty amazing feeling to know that people know your material, things you've written that now is in their consciousness.
It really is. It's an honor is what it really is. It's very humbling. It's a humbling feeling because it's like how it is. When you have a dream about something and you're able to be lucky enough to make it happen, it's very humbling. It really is.
I think it's fascinating kind of how you got started, that you were a tennis player and then you became a tennis coach. And that just kind of morphed its way into working with business leaders. Talk about that for a second.
Well, yeah, I was a professional tennis player. Not a very good one, by the way, but I was about top 500 in the world.
You played some famous people.
I did. I played Bjorn Borg and Andre Agassi, and I lost to most of them. And so I don't talk about that much. I'm in therapy for it for 30 years, but I'm working on it. I think another 10 years, and I'll be out of it, Tom.
You'll be over it, yeah.
So that'll be good for me. But I became fascinated about the psychology of sports and thinking, and especially under pressure. So I studied it, and I started coaching great athletes, great tennis players, world-class Olympians. Then I did that for 10 years, and I went to a large company. So now we work with mostly Fortune 500 sales teams in the psychology of performance. And it turns out thinking, as you know, I mean, as much success as you've had over the years, I mean, thinking really is the catalyst of all of it.
Well, it seems like when you wake up in the morning, you have something in your heart, and it's either something that motivates you and makes you want to strive and have a great day, or something that scares the heck out of you and makes you be frightful, so you don't have the appointments and you don't schedule the interviews and just have all these things because it might not work out. But those that win, it seems to me like, in my experience, the people that book their week full and they have the most cancellations and the most no's and the most maybes, they end up with the most yeses.
Sure.
What's your experience with that?
Oh, I agree 100% because I think, they think nothing is happening. I mean, it's kind of like when you're failing. You know, as much as I failed in my life, I should have a PhD in failing. But, I think what you don't realize when you're failing is that you're getting mentally tough. You're getting stronger every day. And when you think nothing's happening, I'm not making any money or I'm not gaining any ground. Oh, you're gaining ground, not on the outside, but on the inside. And that toughness, that resilience you develop is worth a fortune to you. I just wish someone would have come along and told me that back when I was struggling, because it's tough. Because you're out there thinking, I just can't seem to get a break here. And the break is the toughness you're developing. So it's almost like the more people tell you no, the tougher you get, the richer you become eventually.
Right.
It's very strange.
Well, I'll tell you something I've discovered in just 37 years of doing this, that it's not what you join, but who. If you join the right leader, they can translate everything for you. All the potential potholes and all the problems you might incur, they can boil that all down, and in a period of just a short period of time, you can go through everything that took them decades.
Oh, yeah.
What's your experience been with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, when I got in the professional speaking business about 20 years ago, I spent the first year struggling, failing, just absolutely. I spent $50,000 I didn't have on credit cards. and then I met the father of the professional speaking industry, a guy named Bill Gove, who was 85 years old. And I showed him everything I was doing, and he said, "You won't make this no matter how long you do this." And so I said, "Well, will you mentor me?" He did, and he mentored me, and within 2 years, everything in my whole life changed. I mean, it was just because, as you say, it's the leader, it's who you join, it's who you follow. And he also had, I think it wasn't just the expertise, it was the value system. He was a good guy, he was an honest man, he did the right things. A handshake to Bill Gove was gold.
Right.
And actually, they're making a Hollywood movie out of it. I don't know if I even told you about this.
No.
The story about my mentorship, it's called The Mentor. It's being directed in Hollywood by an Academy Award-winning director.
Should
be out in the next couple of years.
That's incredible.
Anthony Hopkins is scheduled to play Bill Gove.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Who's going to play you?
I don't know. Not sure. Well, obviously, Brad Pitt.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's what I'm thinking.
You would think that, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
People say we're lookalikes.
That was
going to
be my first guess.
I know. It really, yeah.
I was sure of it. That or Tom Cruise.
You're that or Pee Wee Herman.
Could be Pee Wee Herman. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, a lot of resemblance. Yeah, he's got the same serve.
Exactly.
Well, you in coaching athletes and then eventually coaching business leaders, I think there's probably some things that they have in common. The ones that win and the ones that struggle. What would your advice be to somebody on both sides of that?
Well, I think that, you know, I think when you're struggling, you have to realize this, if you'll stay in there, you'll get tough enough and you will eventually win. There's just no way to stop a man that won't be stopped, as they say.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it seems like the universe just opens up at some point and goes, "Oh, just forget it. Just give it to him or her." You
right.
know?
Right.
Just let him through. I don't think it's almost like the barriers are not there to block the ambitious. They're there to block the lazy people who think they're just going to walk into success.
So true. So true. I think back to, there was a point in time as I got my business started where I had an office and I had a new car and I realized my business was at a point where I could do both. And so what do? If you shut down your office, you're out of business.
Right.
But if you get rid of your car, how do you get around?
Yeah.
Well, I figured I can't do without an office, but I can do without a car.
Sure.
So I moved a block from my office and I walked for a year.
There you go. Yeah. Right.
And every day when I got up and I walked in and I was the first one there in the morning and the last one to leave, I don't think most of my office even knew I didn't have a car.
Is that right? Yeah.
Well, I had a big parking lot full of cars. And
sure.
But all I kept thinking about is one day, if I could work hard enough and I could work smart enough, I'll be able to have a car.
Right.
And I went from walking to a brand new Mercedes in 18 months.
Wow.
And I've been driving Mercedes ever since.
Wow, that's great. It's a great story.
But every step I took without a car, I imagine, I went over on a Sunday to a Mercedes dealership, and I got behind the back window and looked through it and imagined my hands on the steering wheel and that little star out front.
Right.
And I just had that picture in my mind as I walk, and every day I knew I was a phone call away from being able to do it, or an interview away, or a meeting away, or a client away. What do you think is inside somebody that makes them be that determined and that resistance to failure?
I think there's a couple of things. I'm not sure what your. I like to know what your. What was your motivation? What drove you to do it?
Well, I believe what we were doing made a difference in people's lives on a client side, and I knew that the difference between a customer and a client. You know, a customer is somebody who buys something. A client is somebody who's under the protection of another.
Sure.
And I felt like these people were under my protection, and so I knew that when I interacted with them on a client level, it made a huge difference. And then I figured out this amazing thing one day that it was the same process for building a team, that somebody under your leadership is really looking for your protection,
sure,
your guidance, your counsel, your mentorship. And once I figured that out, and I figured out if you do it with a small team, you have the law of small numbers working against you. But if you could do it with a bigger team, then all of a sudden you get the economies of scale, the law of big numbers working for you.
Sure.
And then if you can ever get the conditions right, you know, and I feel like we've lived in a generation now of the conditions being right, where people don't like their job, they don't like their boss, they're not so sure about the economy or the stock market or inflation or recessions or all those things. And all of that creates the uncertainty that drives people towards entrepreneurship. But now if you had the money to go buy a big franchise, you'd already have the money.
Sure.
So where can you start, like you said, for $99?
Right, exactly.
And the cost of a license and become an entrepreneur and in the world's biggest industry.
Sure.
I came to all those conclusions and I thought, this is it.
Right.
Everything else I would ever consider would be a step down, and I'm not stepping down.
Did you ever feel like you wanted to prove yourself? Did you to yourself or to someone else? Did that ever occur to you?
I did. I grew up with the traditional 70s dad. And so, you know, like when my daughters came home and told me what they want to be when they grow up, I was like, oh, that sounds good, honey.
Right.
I came home and told my dad I wanted to do this. You know what he said?
What?
Not living in this house.
Go get a job.
Yeah. And so that's how I moved out of my parents' house. Because I wanted to get in this business.
Okay.
And so, you know, you make a decision that you're going to eat the rocks in the parking lot before you're going to cave.
Sure.
And I'm very thankful that happened, because I watched so many other people that may have had a different support system that was actually a conduit to quitting.
Makes sense.
And for me, it was never an option.
Right. That was one of the things I think that drove me to, is just I wanted to prove myself, I think, to myself, but also I felt like I failed in tennis. You know, since I was a little kid, everyone was saying he's going to be top 10 in the world. He's going to beat Jimmy Connors back then and all these things. And I got to a certain point and I realized I wasn't going to get there. And I felt like I let all these people down.
Sure.
And I felt like a failure. And I'd won 57 junior titles. I mean, it was, you know, I was a pretty good junior player. Internationally, but it still felt like a failure, and I thought, you know what, I've got to build something to get rid of this failure feeling, and it was more to prove it to myself. But that drove me to do things like you're talking about, things that people said, why not? Why are you doing this crazy dream? Why are you chasing this thing? Just go get a good job. You have a good education, and call it a day. And that was never going to do it.
Well, when you said you beat Aaron Krickstein.
Yeah, 100 years ago. Yeah.
That had to be fun.
Yeah, that was, yeah. And so, I remind him every time I see him, too.
So you got a taste of that, of what it felt like to win at the big level.
Yeah.
And then you had all your Agassi matches where you got your butt kicked.
Right.
To me, that feels like business. Sometimes you have somebody say yes, but a lot of times you have people say no.
Sure.
And you just got to work hard enough so you get enough shots at the yeses. And unlike athletics, you don't have to be better than somebody. You just got to be more persistent.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's so exciting to think that you could do that in business.
Sure.
What would your advice be to somebody who would read your 177 book or read your How Rich People Think book and say, I want to apply that to this business? What would the way you would suggest they do that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that there's, especially, you know, I think the 177 book is really so much about the way what I learned from world-class performers and the psychological tools that they employ to get themselves past, like you're saying, walking to work instead of, you know, not having a car and all the things we all go through to build businesses. I think that helps them do that. And in the Rich book, I think, at least in my opinion, it helps because it's based on 30 years of interviews. It helps expand people's beliefs about money, because as you said, you know, I grew up, my dad, I don't know about your dad, but my dad was a product of the Great Depression. So everything was scarcity because they saw people lose all their money. Their family went broke and they're living in the street practically. And they see that. So we grow up with that limited thinking, a lot of us, even the younger people sometimes do. Most people do.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I really wrote that book, to show people this is not how wealthy people think. They think at a different level, and they're no better, smarter than any of us. We just have to copy their belief system.
And in a business where you can build a team and you can empower the principle of leverage, talk about that for a second.
Oh, yeah, leverage. The number one, when I do all these interviews all the time, you know, I do these media interviews all the time, and people say, what's the one thing in 30-plus years you've learned from the wealthy? If you sum it up in one word, and the word is leverage. They leverage everything, as you know. Their money, their teams, their knowledge, their education leverages their word. They just keep building a bigger lever. And I don't mean leverage in the context of debt, obviously, but, you know, leverage in the context of building a bigger lever to move things with minimal effort.
Wow. Well, you know, when I think about this business, I mean, even like buying this building, this building sat here empty for 2 or 3 years, and I drove by it and never even looked over here. And one day, the guy who was the president of our company at the time said, hey, you ought to go check out that building that Rooms to Go used to use as their headquarters. And I stopped by here, and as I walked through here, I can't tell you that I saw us having a TV studio in here.
Right.
But I imagined us growing into it. This was bigger than we needed. And now today we've got a waiting list for private offices, and we've got TV studios here. And we're in as we're speaking here, we're broadcasting to all over the world with a live stream, with our own live stream TV station, WealthWave TV. And so talk about a little bit about how you see technology and a combining of high touch and high tech in this modern world, how important is that in business?
I think it's critical. I mean, what you guys are doing at WealthWave here, it's amazing. I mean, we use technology in our business, but you guys are like at a whole nother level. I mean, it really is incredibly impressive. And you know, as you and I were talking earlier, I mean, this is the future. This is the present, really, and the future. And I think if it's just another advantage, I think, when people are considering WealthWave, or they're in WealthWave and they're considering stepping up their game, you know, this is the chance of a lifetime. I mean, you guys are on the cutting edge of the whole thing.
Well, having technology like this as a resource, it just amplifies whatever you were going to be. You'll be that faster.
Sure.
And I think that especially in the beginning, when you don't have all the words, sure, they have videos that do.
Right.
It helps you to not mess up all your initial prospects.
Sure.
So many people in business fail, in my opinion, because they take their initial prospects and they bludgeon their way through them.
Right.
And just destroy it all. And by the time they figure out what to say, there's nobody left to talk to that they have any credibility with.
Sure.
Here, from your very first contact, you're saying it just right. Even if you just said, here, watch this.
Sure.
You know, you could get away with it, sort of.
It's leverage, right?
Really? Yes. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's like, you made me smile when you walked in and saw our control room. And you said, this is as nice as what they have. You know, you've been interviewed on the Today Show,
yeah,
and
right,
CNBC and all these places.
It's nicer. It's more up to date.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
really
the most
is.
Modern stuff.
And, yeah. It's amazing.
And the quality, just the we're still watching it right there. There's somebody speaking in the meeting. And to have that kind of quality, that kind of resolution.
It looks like we're in the room.
Yeah.
I mean,
audio and video. I mean, look how crystal clear that is on the screen. And to think that we get a chance to have our business leaders put their prospects in front of that. Either I had a guy text me while we were having our meeting this morning, and he said, watching this, he said it looks to him like he's watching any other channel in his cable TV network.
Sure.
That he's watching one of the network broadcasts. I mean, the way you can read the screen there, I mean, every facet of this, the audio is crystal clear, and
sure,
that's how you got to communicate these days. And so if it was me and I had these tools available and I was trying to get my business built, I would have given anything to put my prospect in front of these kind of speakers and you today and these things that...
And they don't have to pay for it.
They'd be career changing.
You funded it.
I know.
I mean, they can just use it for free.
Yes. And today we simulcast this in Spanish and Korean for the first time. So you can watch it visually, but the audio comes through in two different languages. That's part of the future.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing.
So it's exciting, and I tell you, it's been an honor to have you here with us today. I so appreciate you speaking at the Green Carpet Day.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you.
If you had to give a parting thought to our team out there, what would you want them to hear?
I think that a lot of people say to me, like after I do interviews and stuff, people email me and they'll say, like TV interviews and stuff, they'll say, you know what, those rich people, those successful people, whatever you want to label them, you know, I'm just rich because it kind of slaps, it kind of hits people, you know,
right.
Whatever you call rich, successful, whatever, those successful people, you know, they have a better education, they're smarter, they're more ambitious, they're just better. I don't come from that kind of a background. I'm a high school dropout, college grad. I get those emails by the hundreds after almost every major interview. And I always tell them the same thing when I can get back to them. I say, you know what? I've interviewed these people since 1984. That's 33, almost 34 years now. 1,200 people. You run into an Elon Musk once in a while and what Steve Jobs. They are the exception. They're anomalies. I mean, most of these people are just like us. They're normal people who want to build a better life. And so I think that what I would say is you can do this, especially... You're not on your own with WealthWave. You've got all the mentorship. How long? You've been doing this 35 years, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you've seen everything. You've seen the evolution of the whole thing from day one, and they can tap into your leadership and your experience for nothing.
Right.
It's unbelievable. I mean, in my business, if I had something like that, I mean, it's just, I mean, when we, to give you an example, my version in our company of an AMA, basically to get involved with us, we charge people $30,000. And then they get involved with us, and we have a mentorship program. That's the $30,000. And it costs some travel money and all kinds of things.
Sure.
And to get the mentorship from you is $99.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
It really is.
I mean, with a chance of a lifetime. I hope people get that.
Well, and in our team, for instance, we've got a cross-section of leaders from so many backgrounds with so much success. You know, we've got 7 leaders on our team earning over $1 million a year.
That's amazing.
In something that cost them $99 to get started.
Sure, yeah, right.
And so they're able to come in.
Good
and
investment.
Just,
that was a pretty good one.
Oh, my gosh.
We need more of those.
And they're not just a millionaire like what we grew up with. We're worth $1 million.
Right.
These are millionaires to earn $1 million a year.
Right, yeah,
in cash flow.
Exactly, yeah.
That's it's just amazing. And so you're an inspiration to everybody that reads your material and listens to you speak and comes to your seminars. And we're so thankful to have you work with our team and to have these events. And we're going to be scheduling a lot more events. And so please go to wealthwave.com and go to the calendar there. You'll be able to see The events we'll have scheduled, Steve. You've got three or four more here coming up in the future.
Yeah, we have October 14th in Hollywood, California. We have October 21st in Dallas and November 4th in Denver with Chris Felton and team.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, those are some of our greatest leaders, and we're so excited to have that. We're going to be booking many more.
Great.
And I hope to have you back here for future Green Carpet Days and maybe even a few more podcasts.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here.
Thanks for listening to Leadership Now, the official podcast of WealthWave. If you like our show and you want to know more, check out wealthwave.com/podcast, or you can leave us a review on iTunes. Join us each week as we talk about the topics you'll need to help you grow as an entrepreneur and succeed in the financial business with WealthWave.